Hello, I have a very exciting announcement to make before the start of this podcast, which is that you can now sign up for the EC method. We are doing a new intake, which will start the 14th of June. And if you're ready to sign up, head to www.theecmethod.co.uk. And if you want to chat to Chloe or I before you sign up, the best thing to do would probably be to shoot us a message on Instagram. We are very responsive and happy to answer any questions that aren't already answered on the website.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the EC Method. I am one of your coaches, Chloe Madeley.
And I am your other coach, Emma Story Gordon. Our goal at the EC Method is to encourage, educate, and empower you to get the results that you've always wanted.
Listen to our weekly podcasts. Go to our website, theecmethod.co.uk, or simply follow us on Instagram to get more information.
Yeah, but it should be up by now. It says we're live. Can you check?
Yeah. It says we're live.
Oh, we're not.
That's quick. I was about to ask you some personal questions. Thank God I didn't. Oh, yeah, no, we're live.
Oh, there's you with your fucking tomato.
Eating your tomatoes like a little freak.
Now Chloe's frozen. Great.
Okay, so, hi, guys.
Right.
Do you want to tell everybody what happened? Because I think no one knows what happened.
Do you know what the irony of it was? I was blowing replying to Kerry being like, make sure you don't get blocked, bitch. But I'd written bish. And then they blocked me for hate speech. Or bullying or something.
Hate speech, bullying, harassment. I mean, violence. I've had it all. So ridiculous.
We do need to be more careful though, because that has been really annoying. So I think now I'm allowed back, but I've got a lot of things to answer. So if I don't get back to you by tonight, it's because I haven't got the tag somehow. So just tag me again if you need.
If they tagged both of us, I've got back to everyone. I've cleared it all as of midday. So everyone who's tagged both Emma and I, you'll have your response, and she doesn't. We don't jump pin on each other's responses because there's no point, and also we could just confuse you in the whole thing. So yeah, if I've responded, then Emma, you are free and clear. So okay, should we get to the questions?
Yes. Oh, and just another admin note, I will reply to that post I put up about the grads, because I think a few people are like, I haven't got confirmation or something. I'll make sure that everyone that I check, everyone has signed up and you're fine. And yes, and we'll do that today.
Yeah, we're really excited, because I think already it's only been up a couple of days, and already we've got like, I think 20% of this current group are going to come back, and that knowing the EC method will likely grow and grow as we get closer and closer to the next round, which I just wanted to also note, obviously some of you are going your own way. That's fine. We're never going to, you know, what's the word, strong arm you into staying. But just be aware that with summer coming, and people who haven't quite reached their goal yet, or who have reached their goal and are now wanting to come into maintenance, summer coming and everything open up again, this is probably the hardest part of your journey, is that transition from A, lockdown into not lockdown, or B, fat loss into maintenance, or both. And Emma and I would strongly recommend that you stay on for another round if this is you, and that you really use us as your coaches, because obviously we get tags all day, every day, and we reply all day, every day, but we can only coach you and help. We can only coach the clients who show up. Do you know what I mean? So even if you're having a bad day, just to show up and say, hi, I'm having a bad day. So use us. But yeah, it definitely makes us nervous. And I would say we get nearly 100% of people who are like, okay, I'm done with my fat loss goal, go it alone. They always come back for that other round after that, because it's tricky. And then we kind of have to start from square one. And actually, one thing I did want to touch on as well quickly before we get going. there's one of the girls in the group this morning, Cass, was basically saying that she feels like she spent her whole life like obsessing over her body, her diet, you know, in more recent times, how many steps did she get in, did she get her workouts in, so much so that she'll lie there thinking about it at night. She thinks about it all day, every day. It's all consuming. So then she decided, you know, okay, I need to take a step back from this. And then what happened? She gained a lot of weight in a short amount of time, and now summer's hit and she's like, okay, I'm terrified because I don't like the body that I'm in, but I don't want to go back to that place. And for those of you who feel like that, which I think is 99.9% of women in the Western world, and Emma and I can relate, we really need to reframe your thinking here. If this is you, we have to go from a point of view of, I need to lose weight, I need to do it. And those are all great goals if you can control. While you do that, people do find it all consuming, and that's when we really need to reframe your.
Chloe, your reception's really bad.
Is the connection bad again?
Oh, you're back now. But yeah, and annoyingly, because I feel like that's a really, really freaking important point to make about the mindset behind you doing this, and that a lot of it is that. It's the actions might be the same, but it's how you think about those actions and the pressure you're putting on yourself, and then your enjoyment of life in general. And if you're putting so much pressure on yourself and beating yourself up about these things and stressing over getting your steps in and stressing over hitting your calories, makes it really, really hard to do. Whereas actually the exact same behaviors framed in a different way with a little bit less pressure on are actually enjoyable. And we talk about this a lot, but it's that change from like, I have to do this to I get to do this. And understanding that you can get incredible results from imperfect action and doing the right things the majority of the time, instead of trying to always get it exactly right. So hopefully we can help you shift your mindset away from that and realize that actually dieting doesn't have to be awful. It doesn't have to be like all-encompassing and stressful, and you don't have to put a hell of a lot of pressure on yourself, and you can enjoy your life while you're dieting or while you're losing a little bit of body fat.
And this is, I wouldn't get too much talking today if I'm freezing. I'll try and be as concise as possible now. But like, it seems fine. I'm watching it as we're going, just in case. But guys, like, it's just about switching it to like health goal. And I know that health and fat loss aren't necessarily the same goal, but just being like, okay, I want to be mentally and physically happier and healthier in my body. So I'm going to bring my calories down a bit. I'm going to make sure I go outside and walk once a day. Like, that's so good for your mental health. And then you get the double whammy of getting your neat up, which is going to help your fat loss. And then you say, I'm going to take control of my diet. I'm going to take control of my food intake. I'm going to pick the meals that I love, you know, for breakfast, lunch, dinner. And I'm going to use tracking, because don't forget, like, you know, tracking is freedom when you need it. Tracking isn't freedom all day, every day, or all of us would be, you know, fucking massive. Like, it's just, it's not how to approach it. You just say, okay, so, and then if I want to go to that barbecue, it's okay. It's a numbers game that day and I can hit that. That's okay. And you start to take control of your body, your mind, your attitudes towards, like Emma said, the fact that you get to walk outside for half an hour every day. You know, a lot of people would kill to do that and they can't, you know, whether they're in prison or in a wheelchair, the fact that you can go outside and walk for half an hour a day is a luxury to people that don't have it. And, you know, you don't have to train all day, every day in the gym, but 3-4 days a week, that's great. That's going to make you feel great. You're going to have a great relationship with your body from a different perspective of what it can do. And we need to reframe it. So I think that's something that any of you who are kind of stuck in that cycle, that's why we really invented the EC method. We're here to try and reframe how you do this, and that like oppressive dictation of you have to be dieting or you have to look great. It's not really how we want you to look at that anymore.
Agreed. And I think it's also why we try, like, for the majority of the time, to keep things fun and lighthearted. Like, this doesn't always have to be mega serious. These are your macros, this is your physiology, this is this. Like, you can have a laugh. Like, that's what we're here for. It's to support you, but also to be like, yeah, this is fun. Life is meant to be fun. This is part of life. And it will be part of your life going forward if you want to maintain those results. So don't make yourself miserable doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Right, okay. Can we read out Sabina's post? Because it was very good. So this is on the grad sign up. She said, if it helps anyone, one thing I've learned from last year from the amazing Kyle Keys is this. I think this is a quote. You can always measure what you'll lose, but you can't see what you'll gain. In other words, our brains that are set to always look for safety make predictions and assume that we already know what to expect from another round. So, for example, another round of the EC method. The brain assumes it's going to do exactly the same thing for the next 8 weeks. Not signing up equals measuring, quote unquote, loss of not getting the same round once again, assuming we already have all the information and that we need. But it cannot predict what we don't know, what we don't practice, nor the changes in our bodies and our mindsets. All the things we couldn't have learned in this round because nobody said them yet, but also because we are different people in this round than we will be in the next round. Maybe this round is going great, so we assume that we won't need the next one, and we can't see how... obviously really struggling with the... So we assume you will the next... So, do you get the point of... I'm struggling with this. Okay. I think it's right, it's the punctuation, of course. Anyway, she says, and another thing, the brain does try to calculate whether £180 exactly is a good investment for 8 weeks of guidance exactly, taking into account numbers and what they mean to us in our heads and understanding of our salaries and budgets. But the thing is, what you're learning cannot be measured like that. Sometimes in those 8 weeks, all we hear is one sentence that changes our lives and is worth way more than £180, for example. Many times we have, quote unquote, spent much more on feeling miserable and sorry for ourselves. Plus, don't forget everything that whilst you're in the group, you get to give. Sorry, I have literally butchered that because it was a really nice post and I've not done very well with it. But the point of it, I guess, is like you can't think of, I mean, it's still very cheap if you do think of it as like per week, per money, per time that you're being coached, etc. But it's the impact that that can have on the rest of your life that's important. Like what you learn in 8 weeks or what you learn in 16 weeks or what you learn in a year on the EC method can change your life forever. And actually, if you learn a hell of a lot about nutrition, training, and most importantly, yourself and how that fits into your life during the next round, for example, that you can carry on forever. Like that's just like worth the investment 20-fold. I guess that's the point Sabina's trying to make. And it was very well made, but I kind of butchered the reading of it. Sorry.
No, I mean, yeah. Like, I'm kind of struggling with...
No, you didn't, but yeah.
I wanted to be like, the written word? I'm joking. No, it's such... I'm really happy you picked that post to read out because I think it's really important. Not only in terms of, like, your practical goals might change. Like I say, like, shifting from fat loss to maintenance and being like, oh, it's fine now. These are the clients that... Again, nearly 100% of who will come back. So that says a lot. It means that as soon as your goal changes, as soon as something changes, you're kind of back to square one in terms of needing some assistance. And Emma and I have been there, and I personally have made this mistake 1,000 times. 1,000 times with thinking that it's, you know, thinking that I can handle it now and I can do it now, and then you inevitably trip up. But also in terms of like just actual kind of bird's eye view of the how transitory life is, and I say this all the time, you know, anything could change, positive or negative, between now and 8 weeks from now. And actually, I think that what I love about the EC method, what I'm so proud of, is that not only are Emma and I very experienced and qualified coaches in what we do, but the amount of support that we give you if you ask for it, but the group give you, is absolutely makes anybody with a goal or anybody who's making some really huge behavior changes, it makes it so much more enjoyable and easy to navigate when you have that wealth of support behind you. And I've fallen flat on my face on many of my goals, be it fat loss or you know, maintenance, because I went through a period of time where I didn't have that support. And yeah, it's inevitable and it's hugely helpful. But look, whatever happens, Emma and I aren't going anywhere. So if you really do want to try the next 8 weeks alone, obviously that's your prerogative. It's your right. It's your choice. It's your money. Do. But we aren't going anywhere and you're always welcome back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the benefits of the group as well is that fat loss can be quite lonely when you've got a goal on your own and maybe, you know, your family aren't doing it with you. And it can be like you feel like you're going through it alone. But I think with the group and with us, like you always have that support and you always know that other people are going through the same struggles, that other people are finding solutions. It's just really motivating. But yeah. Yes, you are always, always welcome back. And now we shall get on to the questions.
Okay. Nicola, hi, I have a question on posture. Could you recommend any exercises that will help pull my shoulders back? It's probably due to my job, but I hate seeing pictures of myself when I'm relaxed with rounded shoulders. I've tried a shoulder brace in the past, and then I read somewhere that they don't help because the muscles don't have to do any of the work. If there are exercises that could help, how often should I do them to be getting the best result? So this is a really good one for our physio, Samantha Heap, and also just for you to go see a physio. But also it is fair to say that if you work your back muscles so working on your back muscles would be things like doing rows will be really great at teaching you how to pull your shoulders in and creating the right muscles to kind of engage to allow you to do that. Any kind of pull movement. But really, if you just look at our kind of back and core days, I'm sure Emma's, you know, got stuff in the pull days. So any pull is usually back. And you start doing them habitually, like, you know, twice a week, you're going to find that you are going to start to engage those muscles. But a lot of the time, you're actually just going to have to work on correcting your posture. So when you are sat at your desk and your shoulders round, you really have to work hard to think about sitting up straight and pulling them back. And I had to work on my posture as a kid, and I've never had to work on it again. I just did it, like I did the exercises I had to do just in terms of form correction every day. I do it for James because he walks like his dad, like hunched over and shuffles along, and I'm just always resetting him. And the more that you just start to think about it, the more that you reset yourself, the more that you will naturally start to sit in the position you need to sit in. Emma, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think things like what am I thinking of? Oh, banded rear delts, quite good to sort of just stretch you out.
Yeah.
The other thing, like I would do that, like have a band at your desk and do it like at lunchtime, do it a couple of times, just because you do end up naturally, like you might start your day thinking, right, I'm going to sit up really straight now. And then like towards the end of the day, you sort of start to hunch over, or like every sort of hour you realize that actually you've like moved back into a position. So it's just a good reminder to yourself to even things out. But that can take a while to do, especially if you've been hunched over for like years working on your computer. And even things like, you can just Google this, but like proper desk setup, so that your laptop or your computer should be at the right eye level to you, your chair should be in a certain position, your legs should be in a certain position. Like get that set up and do it well once, and then just remind yourself to sit like that. That's really important.
Yeah. So not what I'm doing now. And I feel it now. I don't know what it is with me. James thinks that it's bone bruising, but I disagree. I've got like a weird, anyway, not relevant. Not relevant. Let's move on. So Tracy Knight, honestly, did you see me doing this all the time in lives?
Why? What's wrong?
It's on my spine, my upper spine. One of my, I guess, vertebrae, I don't even know, like it's just big and swollen and it hurts all the time. And I don't know what it is.
Is on your back?
Huh?
Is it like where the bar sits?
Well, that's what James thinks it is, but I will go like 2 weeks without squatting and it will get progressively worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm like, it's not that. Like, it's just not that. I instinctively know it's not, but I've asked so many physios and stuff and they all say the same thing. Like, oh, we don't worry about it. Sounds like it's just a bit of bruising from the bar on your back. I'm like, it's fucking not. Anyway, right, okay. Maybe I should tag Samantha Heap and be like, yo, Sam.
Yo, Sam. Yes.
Okay. Tracy Knight, this is a long one. Hi, lovely ladies. I'm not sure that I want to follow the route below, but I will decide after hearing your advice, if that's okay. I know you can't decide for me. May I just ask how many calories I should drop if I wanted to lose a bit of weight now? I am currently on 1850 kcals, but have been stuck at 59.7 kgs for 3 weeks now. I started the EC method last August at 56.5 kg. I've been trying to do hypertrophy since October, but I did have the back injury issue for 7 weeks back in January, which put me back a bit as I couldn't do any workouts. The issue I'm having is I'm feeling so uncomfortable and constantly bloated. Clothes are so tight and I just don't feel comfortable with how I'm looking. I feel almost embarrassed to think that I will be not wearing a coat soon with the weather getting better, because I'm so self-conscious that I look so much bigger. The hubby says I look great and it's only how I'm seeing myself. Do you think I'm developing a problem? The confusing part for me is that I know I have built muscle and I feel much stronger. I am not sure where I really am now. I have no problem sticking with protein steps and workouts seem to be part of my everyday life. Where would I drop to if I wanted to lose a little bit now? Thank you. Okay, so Tracy, this echoes really nicely what I was saying at first. I think people, women especially, know that summer's coming and this anxiety is starting to build of like, I'm going to want to wear shorts, I'm going to want to wear a strapless dress to this wedding or this event or this thing. I actually can't, you know, do what I'm doing now and like put on a hoodie and, you know, kind of roll around with like no one really kind of having to look at my body and me being very kind of safe in that knowledge. Look, you've gone from 56.5 where you started the EC method. You've obviously had the 7 weeks with your back injury not being able to do much activity, which is totally normal, that you then went up to 59.7. Now, I bless you, I don't know, because I can't see you and it's not for me to tell you how you look anyway. It's how you see yourself and how comfortable you are. I don't think that at 59.7 kg you need to be and hitting steps, hitting calories and working out regularly, you need to be remotely worried about, you know, how you look or anything like that. But hey, it's you, it's your body, it's your perception of it. And if you're like, I felt more comfortable when I was down at 56 kg as opposed to where I am now, which is 59 kg, then I'm more than happy for you to continue to do your workouts, continue to hit your steps and bring your calories down to say 1600 to 1700 bracket and see if you feel a bit more comfortable. I can't tell you if you have any body dysmorphic issues because I'm not in your head. Like I'm not with you. I can't see you. This is just a comment. That's something you're going to have to think on and work out yourself. But again, like I say, you're hitting a nice level of calories. You know, you're only 3 kg up, you know, which is kind of ideal with a hypertrophy goal and especially having a long period of inactivity. And if you want to bring calories down and continue to do what you do so you feel more comfortable, go for it. The mental side of it is really on you to assess. Emma?
Yeah, I think this is a hard one. I don't know. This is just a theory as well. So I don't want to like project onto you how you're feeling. But
yeah,
if you're saying like, basically, it sounds to me like hypertrophy has worked really well. Like you're much stronger.
Yeah.
You've put on about 3 kilograms, probably what we would expect given that, when did she start? August. Like that's,
she started EC in August at 56 and then there was a period of time in January where for like 2 months she was inactive, well, but like comparatively inactive because of her back, and then she went into hypertrophy.
Right, but given that like last time, so I'm talking about she's put on 3 kilograms since August, right?
Yeah,
that's a pretty good rate for hypertrophy. Like I wouldn't be worried at all with that. In fact, I think that's pretty much perfect. And you're saying you feel stronger, you can lift heavier weights, like actually that ticks all the boxes. So my question here is, is hypertrophy the right goal? Like if you're uncomfortable, like do you actually want to build more muscle? Because obviously building more muscle makes you a bigger person, right? You're carrying more mass. That's the whole point in it. Is that the goal that you want if you are feeling uncomfortable in your body? Or is it just that there's a change and you need to get used to that change? And I think what's going to really help is the sort of reset workshop that we're going to do next week. Yeah, next week, which will really help you set out. Basically, we want you to think about a vision for where you want to be. Now, I'm probably going to get you to do like a year vision, a 6 month vision, and then maybe like an 8 week vision. So it's like getting a little bit closer. Then you're going to set goals, but they're going to align with your values. So if your value is, I don't know, if you're like, oh, I really want to drop fat really fast, but I also want to spend a hell of a lot of time with my family over the summer because we're going to have loads of barbecues and we're going to go on holiday. And like, we've not been able to see each other for a whole year, not in the same ways anyway. Those like two things don't really align. So this is going to really help you figure out what you want and how you can get there and what compromises you will or won't need to make. And maybe you decide, actually, building muscle isn't what I want at the moment. It doesn't really align with my values. It doesn't really align with my vision of where I want to see myself in a year's time. So that's not the right goal for me. And I think sometimes we are quite easily swayed into maybe like other people's goals, or maybe you saw someone else on the EC method doing hypertrophy and you were like, yeah, I'll do that because that seems like the logical next step from fat loss. It's not always the logical next step. Like, for a lot of people it is. And like, you are probably swayed by Chloe and I as well, because we always want to build muscle, right? But that's not everyone's goal. And we absolutely know that. And it doesn't have to be your goal either. You could be like, oh, I'm pretty happy with my fat loss. Maintenance is my goal. And if I build a little bit of muscle at maintenance, great. But actually, I don't really want to push into like a full hypertrophy goal and put on that amount of size. I'm happy about where I am. So yeah, that, I think after next week, you'll have a much better idea of your vision and your goals going forward.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. Maybe it is the wrong goal for you if you feel bigger and you feel uncomfortable. And obviously, yeah, like we say, muscle is incredibly important to like everybody's overall health and quality of life. But, you know, doesn't mean you have to get, you know, as big as you can possibly get. You know, we can get you to a level you're happy with and sit you quite prettily around there. Yeah, great points, Emma. Okay.
Shall I go to the live? Shall I go over to the live?
Go for it.
Okay, we've got, this isn't a question, it's just a really nice comment. So she says, not a question, but wanted to say what an amazing community we have on the EC method. Ladies, you should be really proud that you've built this safe, supportive, quite funny at times environment for us. Not blowing smoke up your ass is, but wanted to say thanks, and thanks to all the fantastic people in the group who have taken the time to help me. It really makes a difference.
Aww, that's what we like to hear.
You babe. And Arabella. Hi, lovelies. Quick quezzy for push-ups. Is it correct that elbows should be kept tucked in? I find it easier to have my hands wider and elbows bending outwards, but I'm guessing that means I'm not working the right muscles. I'm aiming for some nice non-scale victories for the down days. Love, Yaz.
Love, Yaz. Emma, how do you do your push-ups?
I do them with my elbows tucked in. You don't want your elbows flaring out. I wouldn't say it's wrong to have a wider hands, but it's different. So for example, like, it's much easier to have wider hands because there's less range of motion there, and because you're using your pecs more than your triceps, which are a bigger muscle. I wouldn't say it's wrong, and I actually quite like the variety, because yeah, maybe I want to work my pecs a little bit and go a little bit wider, then I want to work triceps and go a little bit closer. Fine. You don't want your elbows totally flaring out because that will hurt your shoulders. So still sort of keep your elbows tucked in would be a better way to do it. And if you're talking about like non-scale victories, then whatever you do, just keep it consistent. So why don't you just say, right, I'm going to have my hands like in line with my shoulders. That's the width I'm going for. And if I'm trying to, I don't know, do as many push-ups as I can today and then beat that in the next, or like the start of next month, no, the end of next month, then... like, I'm going to keep those parameters the same. As long as you're keeping that the same, then you can see progress.
Yeah, I agree. There's a barometer here, or, you know, of a kind of good form and bad form. But everybody will do exercises slightly differently. So I'm like Emma, I keep my elbows tucked in tight. It's just how I was taught. It's how I do it. And yeah, same with tricep dips. Someone asked that yesterday. Elbows in nice and tight. But James, for example, he's got a bit of a funny shoulder from rugby. He's got a bit of a funny arm. He's somewhere in the middle, again, not flared because that's not right, but not really that tight into his body as well. And that's what he needs to do. So yeah, exactly what Emma said. kind of, again, like I say, there is like an end game of like good form, bad form, but then there's quite a wide area in the middle that people don't really talk about. So yeah, find what's comfortable, that's kind of, you know, where you are, where you can perform them well. And like Emma said, get consistent there, get better there. And then who's to say if we want to make them a bit harder? Do we want to work your chest? Do we want to work your triceps? We can change the stance and you can kind of start from the beginning and have a new goal, which is fun.
Agreed. Okay. Hey, ladies, quick quezzy out of interest. I see these tiny girls who lift weights putting their what I eat in a day on Instagram, eating about 3,000 calories a day. Also saying they do 10,000 steps and 3 to 4 workouts a week. Is this because they're reverse dieted / are in hypertrophy and have lucky genetics, or is it just bollocks? Interested in your take on it. Someone actually, I think I know the exact post you're talking about because someone sent me it the other day.
Who is it?
I can't remember. I didn't know who it was. But very petite girl, like probably about, like with a bit more muscle than me, but probably about my size. And then it had like her eating 1700 calories, her eating 2000 calories, and her eating 3000 calories, looking the like genuinely the exact same. Which makes me think, okay, was that like one day you ate this, another day you ate this, and another day, like, is that what I don't think it was here's me for a year eating 1700 calories, here's me for a year eating 2000 calories, here's me for a year eating 3000 calories. If you do anything for a week, it's not really going to make much difference, is it? Like, no. I would just wonder the length of time at which she'd been eating 3000 calories before she took that photo. If it's been 2 days, of course you don't look any different.
Yeah, it's fair to say that, look, guys, genetics do play a role, okay, but that stops somewhere as well, just like how I was talking about, like, at some point, you know, for like, not great form just becomes bad form. It's the kind of the same for genetics. Genetics are very real. I know girls who are size 6, teeny tiny, who eat like horses, shovel food down their mouth, don't do any training, and are just tight, like literally look like teeny tiny size 6, like very low body fat girls who don't even train, who do actually have a very high expenditure in terms of their activity. They're always out walking, they're always on their feet, they're always moving around, so that will obviously be really helping them. But aside from that, yeah, could I get away with it
on that of the genetics? I think this is where people get a little bit confused. That's the genetic element. It's the behavioral element. So some people are like genetically predisposed to move more, to fidget more, to expend more energy.
Yeah.
And some people are genetically predisposed to conserve more energy and they have higher levels of hunger. That's how genetics impacts your weight. It's not that Chloe and I could eat the exact same calories, do the exact same movement and have like vastly different responses. Like there might be a tiny amount, but like that is minuscule. Like that's certainly not why, for example, I would need 1700 calories and Chloe would need 3000 calories, given that we were the same weight, the same activity levels, the same body composition. That isn't how the genetic influence works. It's influencing how much you move or how much you eat, and that has a very real influence. But like, for example, in this situation, it's almost like not relevant.
No, and it's fair to say that yes, absolutely, some people can, what you would term, eat more and get away with it, right? It's true, but it does stop somewhere. And you know, people who, you know, like I say, genetics will play a role, the amount of muscle that she has on her will play a role, and kind of all of her expenditure being taken into account as well will play a role. Also, you know, food choices, it's fair to say that if she's making up a significant portion of these calories via protein, for example, a lean protein source, then A, that would be really hard to do. But it's fair to say that her expenditure is also going to increase via the thermic effect of food. So there's certain things to take into account here, okay? Look, this is okay. Ultimately, in a very roundabout way, what I'm trying to say is, yes, it is true that some people can, quote unquote, get away with eating more or doing less and maintaining their physique. But it absolutely is fair to say that, like, once you hit a certain bracket, 3,000 calories a day, I don't know. I don't know. I've never had a client be able to do that. And I've got some clients. I've got a one-on-one client right now who's on 2,300 calories a day and she's maintaining her weight. And this is the highest I've ever had a female client being able to do that. And I'm going to keep trying to climb her up. I'll be shocked if we get past 2,500. Shocked. It's never. And I've been doing this for nearly a decade. Emma?
Yeah, I find it quite hard to believe on that level of exercise, like 10,000 steps a day, 4 to 5 workouts a week. I mean, she looks like she maybe weighs like 60 kilograms. Like, the math doesn't massively add up. I'm certainly not saying that like anyone's lying. I just wonder if that's a consistent thing, that she's always eating 3,000 calories, or if it's like been a couple of weeks or something, and maybe she does intend to put on weight, but like she's just proving that she hasn't yet. I don't know, a lot of these things are just quite misleading, like the way they're portrayed. I guess my issue with it, like, how is that helpful to people who want to lose weight? Like, how is that helpful if Chloe put in the EC method, like, look at me eating 3,000 calories a day and this is my physique. Like, is that helpful to anyone? No, because most people can't lose on 3,000 calories or can't maintain. They will mostly gain weight on 3,000 calories. I would gain weight on 3,000 calories. You would gain weight on 3,000 calories. Like, I like the notion of, like, a lot of women need to eat a hell of a lot more because a lot of women are trying to stick to 1,200 calories and not doing it successfully, which means that they start binge eating or they're overeating at other times to compensate for that. That's why they're not losing weight. But there comes a line. Like, you need to eat more, as in maybe 1,800 calories or maybe 2,000 calories, depending on your energy expenditure. Probably not 3,000 calories, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. No. The thing is that you do, so for example, in our world, you have people, we call them hard gainers, people who are find it incredibly hard to gain muscle mass, like incredibly hard. And there's actually some really, really interesting research in people who literally don't and
yeah,
can't.
Yeah,
non-responders. And so non-responders and hard gainers, it's fair to say that they're always fairly tall, fairly skinny. Think of your like classic model physique, right? Fairly tall, fairly skinny, and find it very, very hard to gain muscle. And in order for us to be able to do that, we do actually have to take calories up very, very high. Again, female client, mid 2000 is the highest I've managed to get without seeing quite a significant gain start to occur. But it happens. And there are some people that I can't eat that much because I've tried in the past and I just gain body fat. It's that simple. So yes, it is true that it's different for different people. And if she is tiny and petite with a significant amount of muscle mass, it might be fair to say that she does need to eat, you know, significantly more to maintain that muscle mass or to continue to grow it. But at some point, mass is mass. You know, the rate of body fat which you're going to gain is greatly going to exceed the rate of muscle mass you're going to gain when you're in a significant surplus. It is that simple.
Yeah. So there. And then obviously not, I'm not saying about this girl, but like some bikini type athletes or like bodybuilding community obviously take assistance, which does increase the amount of energy that you expend. So things like fat burners, but not like grenade fat burners, which are effectively caffeine, like things that are a little bit more hardcore than that, or well, yeah, and other things. But anyway, that will ramp up your metabolism, so you will be burning more calories, or more to the point, it will allow you to put on muscle mass at a quicker rate without putting on as much body fat as well. So there are other things that could be going on. I don't think that girl is doing that. Just to be clear, because remember last time we mentioned
last time we had a conversation about an actual person who'd messaged me, and we were like, I mean, so absolutely, we're like, I don't think that like this doesn't apply to her, but it doesn't apply to every CrossFit athlete, it doesn't apply to every bodybuilder, it doesn't apply to, you know, remember they did that study in Wales with the amount of the male gym population that were on anabolic steroids, it was horrifying. It doesn't apply to everybody in Wales, but it's fair to say that a lot of CrossFit athletes, bodybuilders, etc., are assisted. And it's so funny to me that we were so clear about it, that we were not talking about this woman, but we were talking about, you know, the amount of calories she was on, the lack of cardio she was on, and how unlikely that is in the bodybuilding community, in their kind of physique community, unless someone's assisted. It can happen, but it's very, very rare. And oh my God, the abuse I got back. I was like, whoa, how can we deny this? Like, you can't deny it. Like, anyway, so yeah, it is fair to say. I would say if you're ever looking at someone with a physique that is like, I mean, they're not on stage. They're not, well, you know, even then, but that's like, wow, I just can't get my head around that. Always think there's always the potential that crazy fat burners, which will really fuck you up, and anabolic steroids might be playing a role. So just don't forget that. You know, we're talking about the physique world here. These are people who live and breathe with what their physique looks like. I mean, what extremes do you think that they're happy to take it to? It's different from your, you know, 45-year-old mum from Manchester who wants to kind of get a bit toned this summer. It's very different.
Probably doesn't need Clan.
Probably no anabar for you. So yeah, it's interesting. Okay, are we done with quizzes on the live?
Yeah. Oh well, actually, I've got a feeling that this is Ollie, but it says I used to be on hydroxocut tablets and that have ephedrine with ultimate orange, which also has ephedrine mixed with a can of Red Bull. That seems very sensible. Highly would not recommend doing that.
Hello, heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I'm so okay. Anxious right now, but I just feel really...
Told you about the time I took one, and I literally, like, I had to leave the gym and sit on my sofa, and I was like this. So I'm gonna die.
Oh god,
horrific. Worst experience of my life. Never take a pre-workout from a bodybuilder. Never.
You know, my mates used to take it to study.
Yeah, my best friend did it to get her through her masters, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, she got a PhD at the end of it all, so it worked for her. Okay. Angie, buongiorno. Quick question. Any ideas on how to work out my lean body mass? I've read a post on Instagram. Someone you follow, not a Roundtree random, who's mentioned that since it's lean body mass that requires the majority of tissue turnover, it may help people with extra body fat to base their protein intakes, etc., on this number rather than total body mass. Yep, that is what Emma and I always say as well. I'm wondering if this will help with the satiety and stop the ridiculous snacking that occurs after dinner. Huh? Any thoughts? Thanks, gals.
Yeah.
So no, because it'll lower calories if you go on lean body mass, which is what we definitely recommend that you all do. So there's no easy way for you to work out your lean body mass at home. Like, it's not going to happen. So what we do is we say go on like a realistic goal weight, or if you know that you had like a physique that you really loved in your adult life, we can kind of go on that, on how much you weighed then. But if you've still been lifting since then, it might even end up being a bit higher. But yeah, it's a good idea to go on lean body mass 100%.
Or you could just go on, do
the goal weight.
Yeah, or you could just go on like healthy BMI range ish. So really where this is applicable is if someone, I don't know, say someone is my height, 5'5", but weighs 110 kilograms or something. If we want them to have, say, 2 grams per kilogram body weight of protein, that's a ridiculous amount of protein. Like, there's no way that they need that much, and it would be very hard for them to stick to that diet. So what they could do is be like, okay, well, a healthy range for me is anywhere between, I don't know, 60 and 70 kilograms. So maybe I go off, maybe I have 120 grams of protein instead, because I'll go off double body weight of like a lean body weight. This isn't us saying pick a goal weight, like, and it doesn't even matter if you get there or not. It's just a better range to set macros by. Will that benefit your hunger? No, because as Chloe's saying, it's probably going to be lower than what you're already on. So we would probably be looking at your food choices and maybe your meal timings and things like that. If you're struggling with hunger at the moment or struggling to stick to your diet at the moment, that isn't the problem. It's not that you haven't been using your lean body weight. Unless, and I'm just like, this is a bit of a stretch, but unless you were like, I'm trying to hit a ridiculous amount of protein, which means that I'm not getting much fats or carbs in, and it's a really restrictive diet because basically all I eat is meat to try and hit this protein target within my calories. something like that. Although you'd probably be very full if you were doing that, just not particularly enjoyable.
Yeah, she'd be like, what? Yeah, guys, also another thing about those of you who are struggling to stick to the diet, some of you are like struggling on like 1800 calories, and you really shouldn't be if you're making the right food choices. And I'm not saying that out of judgment. I'm saying that out of experience, both with myself and with other clients. Read my announcements post on hunger, where I give you examples of how to really make a meal kind of that lower calorie, high volume, you know, satiating, healthy meal. It's absolutely doable. And then the second thing that I would look at is, are you just looking at tracking as a free-for-all? Which, as I said in the beginning, it's not. If you have a fat loss goal, you still have to quote-unquote diet, and you still have to eat appropriate food to hit that fat loss goal. It's not just a free-for-all, okay? You have to plan your meals. And it's wonderful tracking, because you still have to have that routine and structure around your meals, which is good for you. I promise you, mentally, when you crack the habit and you get into the swing of it, it makes life a lot easier, and you stop looking at food as this like all or nothing thing. I promise you, it's really good for you. But what it also does is, like, when you have the celebration, you do have the freedom. So it's not your classic diet where you have to stick to it or you're fucked. This is what it is. It's a perfect middle ground, but it's not all here or all there. And the last thing I would say is, if you're really struggling at certain points, what is your trigger? So when I drink, staying on my diet is like playing with fire. I mean, I do manage to pull it off most of the time, but it's absolutely playing with fire. It's a gambling game. So if I stop drinking, I find it easy. But my trigger isn't the same for everybody else. Like, you might have a different trigger. Think about the trigger and think about how to kind of mitigate that before the fuck it bucket happens. And sorry, the last thing I would say is, is it like you're in your head thinking, oh, I have a fat loss goal, and it's really fucking with your perception of this? In which case, let's rejig your perception. Do you need to lose some weight to get healthy? Do you need to eat better to get healthy? Do you need to hit a step count to get healthy? Let's start to look at this a bit differently.
Yeah, and even just reframing it into, I want to look, feel, and perform at my best, so I'm going to do these behaviors to get there. Instead of, like, fat loss does have the connotations of, like, just not being very enjoyable, and like diet for a lot of people has connotations of like over restriction and missing out on family occasions, not eating food that you enjoy, almost putting your life on hold for this period of time. That isn't what it's about. And if you can reframe that into, this is what I'm doing to make myself feel really good, that's a much healthier approach to it, I would say. Agreed. Okay, next question. What are your thoughts on consuming an energy drink during a workout? We'll also be drinking a flavored water with blue raspberry creatine.
Where is that from?
Don't know.
I didn't know that there was flavored creatine. Did you know this?
Yeah. I always okay, just I buy definitely it and just like put this. It in juice though.
Yeah, I love an energy drink. I mean, it makes me a little bit nutty, but I love them. I love, like, I get obviously sent the new Grenade ones. They've got one called Buried Alive, which is like a strawberry party in my mouth. But James likes one called Cherry Bomb, which is just like, it's way too much for me. It's like way too much. But yeah, I love an energy drink. I'm all about it. But I drink it really on the way to my workout, not necessarily during. Because, you know, fizzy. Emma's always drinking her Monster.
This is Tango.
Yeah, this is. Hang on. Would you count a normal like soda as an energy drink though, with the caffeine in
it? No, this doesn't have any caffeine in it.
Okay.
Just 4 calories.
Ooh, when
get my steps in. Oh no! Wait, sorry, 13 calories.
Oh yeah, don't you love it how they always do that? I always look at the low ones around, and then I'm like, oops.
Oh, because I'm only going to have 100 milligrams, obviously. Yeah, I think it's fine every now and again, as long as you're not reliant on it, and you're not drinking like 5 a day or something. But yeah, fine. Not a problem. I agree with Chloe that it's probably better before your workout, so that you get that caffeine kick like during your workout. Sure. Instead of being buzzing like after your workout, but hey.
Yeah, I'll typically have like a coffee and an energy drink most days. Not every day. Like, sometimes I just, the caffeine, I don't need it. Okay, right. Any more on the live?
No, we're good.
Okay, let's do this last one because I got to go.
Oh, hello.
Hi, I have a lot of hair. Oh, did you watch the Friends reunion?
No.
Oh my god, stop. It was so good. I cried twice.
Did you see? I watched okay. the start of it and I was like, this looks really bad.
Yes, but I'm obsessed with Friends. It wasn't like it was just them going through like Friends.
Why
like,
was it the James whole experience?
Huh?
I just thought the whole thing was quite strange.
You say, is it what weird because of James Corden?
No, like just everything about it was quite weird.
I know. I was really into it though. I'm obsessed with Friends. It was my come up. It was my humor.
All of us ran to watch it, but then it was really sunny, so I just laughed at them. I was just like, "Okay, guys, I'm gonna go now.
I'm gonna go get tan now." Okay. Last question, Joe Kitson. Hello, I am delighted and relieved to have signed up for another round. I want to keep learning these new habits, unlearning the old habits, and gaining strength, both physically and mentally. I am on my second month of HRT, and I'm just wondering if I continue to hit my nutrition targets, do my resistance training, and stay active, that I'll avoid weight gain that everyone seems to say is inevitable with menopause. I'm 50, 5'2", currently 9 stone, give or take an lb, because you know, fluctuations. I'm still in fat loss and I'm looking for more definition on my generous thighs. Big love to you both. Yeah, guys, we've spoken about this before. If you're on HRT, the beauty of that is you're hopefully, you know, and it might take a minute to get certain things right, but hopefully you're going to mitigate some of the issues that come with menopause. And absolutely, if you're your resistance training, which is hugely important for everybody aging, but also with, you know, with hormonal changes like that come with the menopause, resistance training, eating a calorie appropriate diet, and getting your keeping your NEAT up, your steps in, you're absolutely going to stay on top of it. All those things together is like a perfect melting pot of tackling the weight gain that comes with menopause, I think. Emma, thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's excellent that you're here. It's excellent that you're staying. It's excellent that you've taken the initiative to sort of think forward about this and make sure that you're on top of your health during this time. And obviously just reach out to us if you have any problems with anything, because really the only difference with my clients that are going through the menopause and ones that aren't, apart from some like maybe specific side effects and things like that, is just that they sometimes need a bit more support. Like the fundamentals are exactly the same. It's just everything is heightened and more important. Like it's more important to get in your protein. It's more important to manage your diet and make sure you're not putting on extra body fat. It's more important to stay active. It's more important to build muscle. Like it's exactly the same thing that we give to everyone, but it's even more important for you. But if you're having side effects, like, I don't know, struggling to sleep, that's going to make it a hell of a lot harder to stick to your diet, a hell of a lot harder to recover from exercise. Yeah. Like there are like little changes and tinkering that we might make and be like, okay, maybe actually 3 sessions a week is better given that you're struggling so much with sleep at the moment. But that's very individual and you just need to let us know and we will be there. Little cheerleaders supporting you on.
Emma did a really good podcast on the menopause ages ago. I don't even know if it was ages ago. I remember listening to it and thinking it was really great and really helpful.
Thanks. Yeah, I've done a couple actually. And we had a guest on, but that was more about like hormone replacement therapy and things, less about exercise in the menopause or diet and the menopause. It was more just a broad thing, but that's on Fitness Unfiltered. It's very useful.
Okay guys, that's it for today. I would stay on because we've got about 3 more questions left, but I actually have to go. But we will be back on Friday with another live, and then what is it, next week we're going to start kind of talking to all of you who are coming back, so that's going to be fun.
Yes, I'm really excited about the little workshop that we're going to do. I think it's going to be so useful. And
I think it will too, because a lot of the time, guys, like people don't understand like planning and having an idea, even if it's just like planning your perspective and how you're going to visualize this and how you're going to see this, like makes all the difference in the world. Then realizing when you're like day 2 into the journey, like, oh my God. I don't know if I can do this. Like, of course you can. You just need to.
And I think that's where people start struggle working with motivation as well, because sometimes you end up working towards a goal that actually doesn't mean that much to you because you've been swept up in someone else's goal or because you've just not thought about it that much. Whereas when you really identify these things and align your goals with your values, with the actions you're going to take to get there, it's really motivating as well. I think everyone's going to leave it being quite amped up for the next round. So that's our plan anyway.
Yeah. And we will see you on Friday. And yeah, I think I've only got one EC tag right now to get through, so I'll get through it. So enjoy the sunshine, everyone.
Yeah, I've not got many, so it'll be fine.
Okay.